go, okay? This is being, I don't know if I like this or not, but this is being recorded. And so I usually try to move around. I usually like to move around a lot, but I will try to stay in my place and make sure that the people who are allegedly going to listen to this. Hello, everyone who's joining us by miracle of a taped recording. One thing you will appreciate is that if you wanted to get a tape of this, you could probably use it to cure insomnia as well as to learn about. I'm still going to call it. Dr. Fleming was struggling with not calling it Sunday school too, and my wife won't call it Sunday school. Our church calls what you call family. We call them connect groups, and she said, I'm not calling it connect groups. I'm calling it Sunday school. I said, well, you're a stubborn old woman. We've been married 46 years next month to Vicki is a retired teacher. I'm retired from Lifeway. We're having a lot of fun, mostly going and visiting our kids. We have three sons. The oldest is a ferociously devoted Texas Aggie, lives in College Station, and he and his wife and their two Aggie children live down there, and nobody whoops, so that I guess there's not any devoted Aggies in here. That's a weird town. Anyway, so they live there, and then our middle son and his wife is they have two children as well, and they live in Boston, Massachusetts. And our youngest son and his wife and their two little girls, our youngest Cora, just celebrated her first birthday in December, and we made the rounds of all of them in a whirlwind tour at the end of the year. They live in Los Angeles, and so Vicki people ask us, are we gonna move back to Texas? And we're going like, well, no, we're 3 or 4 hours from. The hardest one to get to is in College Station, and so Boston and Los Angeles, and people drive crazy. So anyway, somebody said back there, I think it was Tom, maybe said something about putting one foot in front of the other. I don't know what that was in answer to. How's it going, putting one foot in front of the other? For the last several years, one of the things that that caught my attention because putting one foot in front of the other is sort of what you do when you have Parkinson's. And so I was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 5 years ago, and so I just finished off my 4 hours without dopamine, and I should be in bed now like all the rest of us, and just took some more. Everybody's got something they deal with, right? And whatever you're dealing with is because God wants you to be more like Jesus, and that's one of the ways of doing it. He didn't put anything in our lives that is not going to either glorify himself, or make us more like Jesus, which brings glory to him too, right? So anyway, you got a simple handout. This is called Taking Your Class to the Next Level or Your Life Bible Study Group. Do you use the word group, or is it just Life Bible Study? Life Bible Study, LBS. I don't know why that sounds. Sounds what? Oh, that's what I guess I was. You know, what church would be different if we counted in pounds instead of people, wouldn't it? No. How many of y'all have at church Sunday? We broke 2 tons. We had 3 tons in our class Sunday. It would change the way staff divided up prospects. You know, they're going, it's like, man, did you see that family? Man, they're big. I get them. We got to go try to get. Man, I don't want them that much. They look like they're all on the Atkins diet. They're all skinny. It would change the way we measured stuff. LBS, okay, pounds. Anyway, you got a simple handout that looks something like this, except the top row does not say discover, connect, and invite. Those are some words that I use, and these are some of the books I've written about Sunday school. I was given an award by the directors of Sunday school in the different state conventions back last December after I announced my retirement, and the award was for, they gave me a trophy that said to David Francis for writing the most books that all say the same thing. And so they They sort of pretty much do. I said, yeah, you figured it out. But in one of the early books of Three Dimensions of Sunday School, which I think Ben uses, Reach, Teach, and Minister. You hear him talking about Reach, Teach, and Minister, Three Purposes of Sunday School, or Reach, Teach, and Minister. And I just use some different ones. These are the ones on you can download free at iTunes or at lifeway.com/David Francis. You can download if you want to learn more about Sunday School or its functional equivalent by some other name like LBS, or if you just suffer from insomnia and you want to cure it. So those are those books. But since this is taking the class to the next level, I'm going to propose to you that there are three levels that your class can operate on. And most classes don't operate on all three, but they could. They might should. But it's okay for a class to operate at whichever level it operates at. And so what I want you to think about as we go through this this little worksheet is a kind of an evaluation of where you think your class is. You're the director. I think it's appropriate for you to evaluate where your class is over against these things. I'm not going to scold you. I'm just going to lay out some. What I hope you'll see is a challenge in some of these areas to move to the next level. And so the levels all start with C. The first one's class. The first level is the class level. Almost every Life Bible study or Sunday school class at least operates at the class level, although I was a little disturbed to hear about making sure that the teacher actually teaches. So that's actually a problem at this beginning little cell, the class. But most classes at least get together for an hour or so once a week and have a Bible study or a Bible lesson or some Bible teaching, right? If they don't do anything else. Almost all universally, even if the teaching's poor or good or great, a group gets together and opens up God's Word, or somebody opens up God's Word standing behind the lectern, or whatever. And so this is the first level. It's kind of the default level, right? But what did you mean by making sure that the teacher actually teaches, or was that not supposed to be made public? Okay. Okay.
It's not a criticism against that.
Got you.
But it's important as a director that we're meeting that purpose.
Right. Are remembering that you're representing that as a director, that it's not about you. It's not about the, you know, I used to tell one joke, but everybody liked it so much. Now I tell three. I must have hit a nerve or whatever. But to make sure that a maximum amount of time is spent in God's Word. And that's good. So that's the class level. Some groups, probably most groups, probably your groups, have already moved on to the community level. You don't leave one level to go to the next level, but you become a community. You love each other for the most part. You care about each other. You want to know about each other's stories, right? Move on to a community. It is more rare. It's more rare for a group to move wholeheartedly to the next level, even though we're encouraged consistently to do that, and that's the move to the level I call the commission level, where we actually get serious about the Great Commission and reaching out to other people and being open. What Dr. Fleming talked about, open groups, and actually being open. Y'all agree? You have to work hard at it, right? It's relatively easy to do the first and the second thing, but we're told the Bible tells us to do all of them. The Great Confession. This is what if we're just a class, and I hesitate to say just a class, but if we operate at the class level, at least we want people to join Martha and Peter in making the Great Confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. We want them to get to that place, right, where they acknowledge that they've been exposed enough to the Bible that they come to the place that they receive Jesus as their Lord and pledge allegiance to Him as their Lord. So the Great Confession, the Great Commandment drives our community building. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Right? Great Commandment drives that. And then we all know nobody. the Great Commission, we know we're supposed to do that. There's not a most classes don't have a theological problem with the Great Commandment. I've never heard anybody go, you know, I know Jesus said to do it. We're not going to do it. Our class not going to do it. We're not going to reach out to people. No new people can come in. Now, sometimes it's practiced that way. I told the group before this one that I walked into a ladies' Sunday school class in Lone Tree, Colorado. Lone Tree is between Denver and Colorado Springs off of Interstate 20. And I walked into this ladies' class, and there were like four tables shoved together in a large rectangle. And around the table were chairs, all of which had pads in them that would have been sewn by the ladies themselves or bought at some craft fair or something like that. The point is, every chair was claimed whether there was a woman in it or not. Everyone. There were a bunch of chairs of various, various makes and models, like they were a rummage. Anyway, around the perimeter of the room. And so I asked the teacher, I said, who are those chairs for? So this is really, great room. Who are those chairs for? She said, without missing a beat, she said, well, that's in case we have any guests. And I said, well, I'm sure they'll feel very welcome. Obviously tongue in cheek, and I didn't, had to worry about being fired because I was leaving that afternoon. Sometimes we do things or don't do things that we think we're open, but we're really not, And so we can be more purposeful in fulfilling the Great Commission. And it's not about theology. It is about psychology. It is about sociology. Because we can tell people you ought to do something, but if you don't have systems and processes and practices in place to support what you're telling people to do, they're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. Nobody's going to do it. People are not going to take the risk to invite somebody to come to a church or specifically to a live Bible study unless they are confident that that person is going to be treated with in such a way that they're going to feel good about coming, right? And there are ways that you can do that you can install systems, and you as a director are responsible for trying to make those things happen, right? So that you can, if you want to move to the commission level, there are ways to do that. Matthew 28 is very clear. 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, and when they saw him, they worshiped. But some doubted. I love that part. Then Jesus came and said, all authority has been given to me. You know the verse. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything I commanded you. And nobody says, no, I'm not going to do that, do they? We affirm it. We just need ways to make it practically happen. How do members see themselves at the different levels? At the class level, if your class sees itself as a class, the members see themselves as a member. And in the sense that membership has its privileges. And so it's about me, right? It's about me being taken care of. It's about me being fed. Dr. Fleming talked hinted at that a little bit about people who come in say, we just need to go deeper. We need to go deeper in our class. We've all been members for years and years and years, and it's about me. It's about me being taken care of, right? Because membership has its privilege. So I'm a member. Nothing wrong with being a member. It's just a perspective is different. When you move to community, more people see themselves as ministers. And again, theologically, scripturally, biblically, everybody's a minister, not just the staff. Right, Don? It's not just the people who are paid to be good. It's the people who are good for nothing. Just are caring and leading and becoming ministers, using their gifts to fulfill the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And then rarely a class moves where more and more people are seeing themselves as missionaries. The Sunday school movement, from which the Life Bible Study has its roots, is a missionary organization. Do y'all know that? Do y'all know the history of Sunday school at all? One of the little books I wrote is called Missionary Sunday School. And I recount a little bit of the history of the Sunday school movement, and hope to do some research in retirement to advance that a little more. One of the most significant strategies for missionaries, of our missionary strategy internationally and domestically, is the principle of the people group. Doesn't it, Don? It drives a lot of our missionary strategy is not political boundaries, but people groups. In fact, one of the key unreached people groups in the world and even in North America is the deaf people. People who are deaf. It's a dark principle of the people group. So how does that apply to Life Bible Study or Sunday school classes? We do the missionary work of life Bible studies better if we think of our class as having a people group that it's responsible for. Now, y'all follow me here. This is missionary strategy. There are exceptions, but what would be a people group? Married couples under the age of 35 with no kids, is that a people group? Yeah. Married couples under the age of 35 with kids. Is there a difference between those two groups? Absolutely. Especially people, young couples who are in small group type churches. When this happens, when they have their first child, it begins to threaten their attendance. When they have the second child, it's almost impossible for them to attend faithfully. But they have this romantic memory of what it was like to be in a small group, and so they don't like Sunday school or Life Bible Study. So we ought not to promise that. We ought not to say, well, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's spending 4 hours on a Tuesday night with all the other people who don't have kids. It's not the same thing, but it's a good thing. But it's a different people group, and missionaries to these people groups behave differently. I talked to one man who at a conference who said, "Yeah, that's my people group." I said, "Well, what do you do that's missionary?" He said, "I go to Target and Walmart and stuff, and stand in the diaper and baby food aisles, and somebody comes up and I'll ask a question. And I'll say, "Oh, you have a new baby? Here's your sign." And begin to just have a natural conversation. He works for him to invite people to come to his Sunday school class. Parents of preschoolers, age 40 plus or minus 5 years. I like the combination of a life stage and an average age. You know why I like publishing an average age? Because you can calculate it. People can't lie about it, you know. It says, "Yeah, David, you got on our door sign that the average age is 43. Where did you get that?" Well, I took the ages of all the people in the class, and I divided it by the number of people in the class. And that's what it came out to. And so it's an average age. So people give two points of reference, but it's a people group. It gives you a group that you're responsible for. What's your people group? What is your people group? The more specific, the better. Parents of children, average age 42. Parents of teenagers, average age 46. Are you getting the idea of single parents? Empty nesters, average age 55. We actually went into a church. It was Hoffmantown Baptist Church in Albuquerque. This was 11 years ago. We were both 66. I got my first Social Security check this month. And so empty nesters, average age 55. This was on their list. It said, only class said empty nesters, average age 55. I said, "Hey, that's exactly us. That's exactly where we need to go." And this lady looked up from the visitor's desk, and she just looked in and she said, "You don't want to go to that class." And so I didn't ask why, but we went to another went to another class. But at least it was clear enough that we could have picked the that class. Retired couples, this is where we are now. We're almost out of this one. Ages 62 to 68. Mature adults, ages 70 and up. And then one of my favorite ones, this is a real one that came up at a conference. I had a group talking about their people groups. I said, "Y'all hear any interesting ones?" And from the back of this room, there are about 200 people at this meeting in someplace in West Texas. I can't remember now. But they said, "Yeah, this lady said her people group is for her class is widows over the age of 90. And everybody laughed. And they said, "No, she's serious. She's got like 8 women coming now that didn't used to go to church, and they're widows under the age of 90. And so I just said, "Where do you, missionary, to widows over the age of 90, where do you get their names? Where does she get the names?" The obituaries. That's a missionary heart in building a. So what's your people group? Yeah. What's your people group? Now, people will tell me, every place I go, I've been in 48 states talking about Sunday school. And they'll say, you know, our class is for whosoever will may come. Of course it is. But you need to be specific, too. I used to tell people, we don't check IDs. You know, we're not. You don't have to. There's people on the margins that don't fit our people group description as missionaries, but we still have a target. If we're going to be missionaries, we have. So what's your people group? Everybody's class can't be for everybody. In fact, everybody's class is not for everybody. If you work hard enough at it, you'll discover who you're good at reaching. And whatever kind of people group God's made you good at reaching is probably the people group he wants you to try to reach more of. Am I making sense? And because that's a good missionary strategy, is to and so that's why we like great a Sunday school. It's not to make people mad. You know, saying, yeah, they're gonna. I went by this lady's class and I had changed their sign. We had promotion Sunday when nobody promotes. Y'all know that. And they said, David, we've got a problem. I said, what's the problem? I said, you just changed our sign to say women age 72 and up. Why did you do that? I said, because y'all are all 72 and up. And they said, but we want people that are younger to promote into our class. I said, they're not going to. The next class up wants you to promote in their class. You're not going to. You're just not. You can. Nobody's going to make anybody. Those days are gone. Nobody's going to make anybody promote into anybody else's class. You're all over age 72. Ladies, this is your mission should you decide to accept it. To reach women who have no relationship with Christ or have no relationship with the church, have no one caring for them spiritually, that are women over the age of 72. That's your mission if you choose to accept it. Who's your people group? Everybody can't be whosoever. So, what's your class's people group? Anybody want to venture? Anybody got one that you can say, yeah, I know our class's people group? Widows, okay. Uh-huh. Yes. Okay, are spiritually single. Okay, another way. Yeah. And so that's good. And so you know that. And so you know who you're good at reaching, and those are.
Ours is a big unique in this church. It's called Internationals Making a Difference. And
Internationals Making a Difference, okay.
So our class members have a very strong international connection. Most of them are born from other countries, or their spouse, or have lived abroad for many years or something.
Great. That's terrific.
This is somewhat of a joke, but it may not keep the number of maybe the people with those who have medical problems, because our prayer requests in our class are oftentimes about their medical problems at that age.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point God asked me to start a class in our church for people with movement disorders. Like Parkinson's disease, which I have one, and because people are embarrassed to come, you know, they have issues, and so there could be specific medical conditions or a broader range of medical conditions that I already mentioned the deaf as a people group. This is just something to think about. If you want to move to the commission level, you got to start thinking like a missionary. While we might find them, maybe in the grocery store. That's why we grade classes or assign, you know, age groups and stuff like that. It's not to be mean or arbitrary, but it's to define your mission. That makes sense? And if you don't like your mission, then negotiate changing your mission. That's why something like a life stage, parents of college students, parents of high of high schoolers. You know, however fine you want to get to parents of in a smaller church, parents of youth or parents of students, and an average age is important because that actually might run a pretty wide span. Left to their own choices, most people will grade themselves or put themselves in a group that are on the same parental frontier they are. That is their oldest child. By the time Kelsey, my third one, got to middle school, I'd already had two middle schoolers. I never had a college student, never had a high schooler. People will tend to put themselves, am I making sense? They'll tend to put themselves not by necessarily by their age, but if their parents, by the age of that first child. Now, some of those people will have had more than one. Does that make sense? Because if the more we can reach people that are have something in common, the more likely we are to be able to reach the people who also have that same thing in common. There was a couple in our church just year before last that started, and it's become a successful class. It started a class for men and for couples who like to golf together. Both of them like to golf, and they like to golf together. That's a pretty small people group. Who like to golf together without cussing or whatever, you know. As a matter of fact, if you look around and you say, we don't have a class for fill in the blank, that maybe is a people group. Work on who your people group is. Open. We got a lot to cover in just a little while. We'll go till 10 after. Is that right? Huh? Straight up 10 o'clock? I don't want to dispute you, but I'm going to look. 10:05, okay. I'll quit at 10. Oh, that's right. 5 minutes to do the survey. Open Bible. At the class level, you got open Bible, right? That's what, is it Jim or Joe?
Joe,
okay. Open Bible. By the way, the Bible is the textbook, curriculum just a plan to study it. Now, I'm a curriculum sales guy. I was responsible for selling a lot of curriculum at Lifeway. I was with my primary account, financial accountability at Lifeway was our Sunday school curriculum business. So I want churches to buy curriculum, but I want them to buy curriculum instead of studying the Bible. I want them to buy curriculum because people need a plan to study the Bible, or they won't study get the whole counsel of God. And I'm not going to push curriculum because I'm already retired and I don't get paid to do that anymore. I think attendance patterns have become such that curriculum is not just about preparing for class anymore. Curriculum is just people need to keep up with their Bible study whether they're going to be there or not. You know, it needs to be more of a discipleship plan than just something you do to or don't do to get ready for class. Open enrollment. Open enrollment is what Dr. Fleming, our keynote speaker, was talking about, was that people can belong before they believe. Do y'all practice open enrollment? I know Ben Pritchett. I know that you should practice open enrollment, which means anybody you don't. I used to tell people on the phone, they visit a few times, I say, hey, I'm sure glad you've been visiting our church. Would it be okay if we enrolled you and the kids in Sunday school? Well, typical response almost all the time. Well, we're really not ready to make a commitment to the church yet. Me. Well, you don't have to. There's a lot of people in our church who are haven't followed Christ yet, haven't become Christians yet, haven't been baptized yet, don't know if they want to be Baptist or not, are not even members of the church, but they're members of Sunday school. Because we allow people to be members of a Life Bible study group, whether or not, you know, kind of as a trial until they, and by the way, we also will stop bugging you all the time and sending you stuff. Where do I, you know, sign me up? And so it's important for us to communicate with people or they'll be confused to almost these words, almost script them, that enrolling in a Life Bible study does not make you a church member nor obligate you to become one. Does that make sense? It doesn't make you a church member or obligate you to become one. It carries almost all of the privileges of being a member of the church. We'll even send you offering envelopes. I want to make sure people knew that before they showed up. We'll even send you offering envelopes. You'll be on the mailing list, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The only real things that you can't do is you're not supposed to vote in a business meeting, but most people don't come to them anyway, and in healthy churches they don't. In unhealthy churches, you announce a business meeting, more people come than typical. In a healthy church, if you announce a business meeting, fewer people come than usual. And so you're not supposed to vote, but we don't really check it. You're not supposed to vote in a business meeting, and you can't hold a church position that requires some biblical qualifications, like being a teacher or something like that, or an elder or a deacon or whatever. Does that make sense? So you make sure people know that. Most people, given those choices and those parameters, they'll go like, yeah, sign me up. Put me on the ministry list. So basically, you get to belong before you believe. And then open groups. Open groups means that new people can come anytime. There's only two kinds of groups. There's open groups and closed groups and on-campus groups and off-campus groups and groups. You're going to fit in these two matrixes someplace. And most churches that practice what you do do very well in using an open, ongoing group. In fact, I think do better than the so-called small group churches. You certainly reach more people, a higher percentage of the people who come to worship than a small group churches might. And I'm going to skip this stuff because it's kind of technical. But it's really interesting. But we don't have time for it. Okay. At the class level, we already kind of talked about this. The focus is on me. Me. What's good for me? I want to go deeper. At the community level, it becomes us. At the commission level, it becomes them. Not very many classes get here, y'all. Most classes don't talk about them. Don't talk about the people who are far from God. But that's something as a director that you can begin to program in your class to make sure that there's an emphasis given, that you set up the systems and processes to make it easy for someone to feel accepted. Yeah, please do, Don. In fact, you'll come. A lot of this has to do with intent. Now we decide that we want to do this. We are going to obey the Great Commission. We're going to work together to be missionaries, to cooperate with each other, to help each other reach our friends or our neighbors, or right. And so we're gonna create an event for the. We're gonna have fun at it ourselves, but we're gonna do this one of the primary purposes of doing this event is like what Don said. Is to have a safe place. We're going to be extra sensitive to the fact that we're inviting people that are not currently part of our class and may be far from God. At the class level, it's about God's story, His story. At the community level, it's about our story. At the commission level, it's about their story. This has become sort of a cliche, but people seem to like that it's a meaningful cliche, and it's this: nobody's story is complete until it's intersected with God's story, which happens best in a community being enriched by the stories of others. That's what your life Bible study could be. Maybe it is. I hope it is. If it's not, move your class to a different level. Let's do some Greek. The class level, you hopefully use a theological Greek word called kerygma. It means the essence of the gospel. I grew up Presbyterian. Anybody else grow up Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic? Okay. You could probably say the Apostles' Creed, right? I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost or Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell or Hades, depending on which version you're using. On the third day, he arose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick, the alive, and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic, little c, universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You know, Baptists don't do that, right? We got to study on that. You know what? It is what we believe. You know? And it's we're not really a creedal people. We're people of a book. But we ought to be able to get to the place that we don't just come and have a smattering of Bible lessons. There are people, I don't know, do you ever get frustrated that there seem to be people who ask the same questions all the time, and you know they're really not growing in their theological understanding or of Scripture? They're not really putting it all together. We need to help them put it together. And so that's an important function of the class level. At the community level, it's koinonia. Everybody's sort of familiar with that word, right? Unfortunately, there's a lot of classes that get an aberration of koinonia, which I like to call koinonitis. Bronchitis, sinusitis, arthritis, koinonitis. It's the syndrome that I say, it's like people say, what's the best thing about your class? Our class is really friendly. Well, you think you are, but you're not really. Not to outsiders, right? And you could be more so. Do y'all usually have food? Sunday school communion? Coffee and donuts? You know? And then kenosis is at the commission level. Kenosis is the word used in Colossians, in that great hymn that Paul either quotes or made up, where he says, although Jesus was equal with God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, taken advantage of, used for his own purposes. But instead, he emptied himself, came like a servant, and he goes on to the really great grand part about it. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Yay, we win. He wins. But emptied himself. That's what missionary classes do. Missionary classes empty themselves. The first place they empty themselves is into next-gen ministry. We encourage people, celebrate when people go to work with preschool children and students. Do you? Do you put up posters and put their names on them? Do you assign a care group leader to the people that people say, you know, the reason I don't go serve in preschool children and students is because the last time I did that, my class forgot me. You know why they say that? Because their class forgets them. Don't forget them. Take credit for them. You're the director while you're making the announcements. Janice, you could say, we're glad we have some guests here today, and we're glad you introduce them or have somebody introduce them. We're glad that you're here today. You can tell this is a really great group. This isn't all of us. Some of our members serve as missionaries to the next generation, and we always want to remember them. We've got a poster up here with their names on it, or pictures or whatever, and we want to remember them today because they're some of our most, they're our missionaries to the next generation, and we want to pray for them today. Care group leader for our missionaries to kids, you have you hear the tone of what I'm suggesting to you. Kenosis. Emptying yourself in... Yes?
I was going to say, I can vouch for that today. We spent 14 years in the Children's Division of the First Baptist Church, and I think we got less than a phone call a year or contact a year from the department at the time. And, you feel lost out there because you don't have the association with the people in your age group. You're in second grade.
Well, then you do something about it in your group.
Well, and in our department, we know some people who are our age group that are ministers that are in other departments, and we make a point of contacting them to join us for functions and stuff.
Bless you. Yes.
We actually started a class in the evening here.
Uh-huh.
It's primarily workers in the morning, so
And that's a good, that's good, and that satisfies the needs of a lot of people. Many people not going to come back for that class, and it's good. I'm affirming that you're doing it. If we would reach out to those folks and celebrate them a little bit, there's a risk more people will go serve because they know they're not going to be forgotten. And don't we want them to? I counted them. I tell people, I'll say, you know, I paid classes to have missionaries to the next generation. People will laugh. I go, no, really. I really did, you know. All the classes got a spreadsheet every month, and you got. Here's how it works. You got 25 cents put into your activities fund. You got 25 cents put into your activities fund for every member who showed up at least once during the month. Every member. People say, well, what about guests? I said, you enroll them. We'll practice open enrollment. There were a lot of people who enrolled the last Sunday of the month. Go figure. For a quarter. It wasn't about the money for the leaders after a while. It was just about, and they got to see how they were doing all the classes. I published the spreadsheet on one sheet of paper so everybody got to see how everybody did. But you got 25 cents deposited to your activities fund. Everybody saved it for Christmas, so I stayed out of trouble with the finance committee because everybody spent it in December, okay? If you're anybody on the finance committee, you learned a trick. But you earned 25 cents. If you had in a service member, a next-gen worker that you were responsible for, you got 50 cents. And so it was mostly symbolic. But do you get the idea? We're working to make sure that we enroll members. I have this basic principle of management. Some of you mentioned we do administration. That basically you get what your reward. You don't, you know, in that right process, management people, you get what our hosts both are in. Process managers and project managers. You get what you reward, and so it's important. And then the most important Greek word, the thing that we're revolutionizing after class is kename tags. Listen to me, I'm going to appeal to you. I want to appeal to you about something. There is no other single thing you can do to help you accomplish moving from one level to another level in most of the stuff we've already talked about and some of the stuff we'll talk about in the rest of this session that will help advance those purposes and help you move to the next level, like the faithful, ritualistic, consistent use of name tags. And you don't have to create some kind of elaborate system where you have stuff hanging on the wall, stuff. Just peel off name tags. Now, I'm a big name tag guy, and so, you know, I'll just say and tell the group, this is what we're going to do. Since we're doing this because we want people to feel comfortable every time they visit. Those chronic absentees who've forgotten who we are, we've invited them to come back. We're expecting new people every week. If we're expecting new people every week and we expect God to answer our prayers that we're going to have new people every week, they don't know us. And nothing makes a guest feel more comfortable than a room full of people with name tags on. Especially if you'll just, hey, institute some rules. These are my rules. First name, all caps, really big. Last name underneath that, you know, smaller. But big enough so I can see your name across the room. And then one last line, and every week we do something different. You'll get really creative. Favorite book, favorite movie, hometown, sports team I root for, et cetera, a favorite restaurant, favorite Mexican restaurant, favorite Italian restaurant, you know, I guess. Yeah. This is kind of called the drip method of creating community. Little by little, every week, people will have a reason to share some little tidbit of their story. And people will make remarkable connections. You were born in Indianapolis? I was too. I've actually heard that one. You know, I witnessed that one. people make connections, and it's not just for putting my name on there. There's another reason for doing it. Does that make sense? We're actually using the name tag to build build community. And now there are people who go like, well, you know, it messes up my dress. Okay, we'll figure out something else to do. But trust me, just try it. Try it for a month. Try it for a month, because there'll be people who go like, yeah, I'm not gonna. I know who I am. It's not about you. Let me show you this chart. Yeah. Now, yeah, this is for the, yeah, you could probably go overboard, but anyway. The every week principle. Every week principle. At the class level, we want to complete a satisfying Bible study experience every week. Every week in an open group that expects new people every week needs to be should be a complete Bible study experience. That's one of the things that helps. It's helpful about curriculum. It has an introduction. It has, you do the lesson, you wrap it up. It's a complete experience. If somebody comes, it's their first time, or they come every twice a month, or they come three times a month. Every session, it's not a we go. Now people will tell me, they tell me all the time, well, Brother David, we've been going through Revelations for the last 6 years. Well, I don't think it's the S on it. I think it's just Revelation. No, I'm pretty sure my Schofield Chain Reference Bible says Revelations, and we've been going through it. And do that if you're definitely at the class level if you want to do that. And so don't be disappointed if you don't reach other people. Now, you might. People need to have a satisfying Bible study experience when they come. I could talk a long time about any of these. Contact, this is what we talked about at the last session with the care group leaders. Contact every member every week. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you organize your group into care groups. And this ought to be we ought to contact, you mean, David, contact every absentee every week? No, I mean contact everybody every week. Because it's not about them coming or not. It's about you love them and you want to know what's going on in their lives and you want to know when they go to the hospital and you want to know when they're sick and you want to know when they've had a death in their family or they have some financial crisis or they've been laid off. We want to keep up with our people and shepherd them well. And so a class that moves wholeheartedly into community level is going to set a goal to try to set up a system of care group leaders so that people are assigned 5 to 7 men or women that they contact every week. And then we've already kind of talked about this one, expect new people every week. This one thing, if you as a director can compel, persuade your group to accept this as a mantra, it will change everything. It will change when you get there. It will change where people sit. It will change whether or not they wear name tags. It'll change everything. If you can say, we really are going to work toward being a class, being a life Bible study that really, really, really does expect new people every week. Most people like to go to, are more attracted to a new class, and so if you're not a new class, this is what you can do. For a month, pretend to be a new class. You say, hey, everybody, remember what it was like to be in a new class? You really are hoping new people would come? So for the next month, this may sound corny, but this guy from Nashville suggested we do it, and so it's his fault if it doesn't work. Let's pretend we're a new class. The roles, you got teacher and shepherd and leader, and I got a little book on each one of them. You can look it up at lifeway.com/David Francis. Team care group leaders and teachers and outreach leaders, you got those? You're not going to do any of these levels if you don't have at least a leader that's responsible for them. That makes sense? People tell me all the time, well, David, we don't have an outreach leader. Okay, director, listen to me. Yeah, you do. David, we don't have any care group leaders. Yeah, you do. We don't have a fellowship leader. Yeah, you do. Because if you don't have one, you are one, okay? Any job you don't have enlisted. Now, there is something worse than having a vacancy in your organizational chart, and that's having a filled vacancy. It's better not to have an outreach leader than to have an outreach leader who doesn't the outreach lead. Right? Say, well, I'll be happy to be the outreach leader, but we're not going to make any phone calls or visits. Or, okay. And they're the hardest people to fire. Conversational salt. You know, we have the Bible talks a lot about, Jesus talks about we're light and salt. And so what kind of salt can people take away from your class at each level? They can talk about it at the class level. They can talk about what they learned. At the community level, they can talk about what the group did for me when I wouldn't have made it. Y'all have heard of these testimonies. I don't know what I would have done when I lost my job if it hadn't been for my life Bible study. They probably say Sunday school. If it hadn't been for my Sunday school class, even here. Right? Or my group, my small group. I don't know what I would have done when my little girl got sick if it hadn't been for... Y'all have heard of those testimonies, right? What happens at the commission level is you get to tell stories about what you did for other people. This was the day, our new class, about 3 years ago, this was the day we moved from the community level to the commission level. In fact, it's really the day we moved to both of them. When we signed up, as a class, go to Tennessee Baptist Children's Home and paint playground equipment and spread mulch and clean out a missionary residence and work and sweat and get dirty together. And then we went and ate barbecue on the way home. I accidentally donated a ladder to Tennessee Baptist Children's Home because I forgot to put it back in my car. We were dirty and sweaty, and we became a community that did commission. Because we did something together. And then finally, the last row. This is how you'll know. This is the telltale sign of what level you're on. Listen to the prayer request. At the class level, they will be mostly general. And at any level, they're going to have some of these. Pray for government officials. Pray for the people who are having some natural disaster someplace in the country or the world. Pray for our police officers. Pray for, you know, it's safe stuff. At the community level, people start getting kind of real with each other. You know, pray for me. They're laying off at the plant again, and I've been fortunate the last three rounds, but it looks like I'm going to get caught this time. Pray that God will help us figure out what we need to do for me to provide for my family. At the commission level, the prayer begins to be about people who are far from God. And this is how, it's also the way you start helping a class move to the commission level. You start praying for lost people. We attended a church for 13 years called Long Hollow Baptist in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And in preparation for a one-day revival for a month, what we did every Sunday was we were asked to come down to the front during the decision time and write people's names on the wall. There were thousands of them. Most people say, you know, we can't write on the wall. Could you put post-it notes on the wall? Could you put up a sheet of paper like this senior adult ladies class in Oklahoma did? This is a real class. They got hooked on intercessory prayer for lost people. If you look really closely, you can see some of them are marked out in pink. What do you think that means? Yeah, they got saved. Start praying for lost people. When you start hearing prayer requests like these, you'll know that you're on your way to this level. You've heard the other things. There's nothing bad about those other prayer requests, but you'll start hearing sprinkled in there. Hey, would y'all pray for Elizabeth? She's in an exercise class with me at the fitness center, and she's gone through a really painful divorce, and she's got a couple of teenage kids that are about to drive her crazy, but I think she likes me. And Would you pray that God would engineer the circumstances for me to have a conversation with her and invite her to come to our women's event next Saturday? Yeah, would y'all pray for Jason? He's a programmer that works in the cube next to me. You know, we talk about sports and stuff, but recently, you know, we've kind of talked a little bit about spiritual things. And, you know, I think he's really listening. Would you pray that God would engineer the circumstances to allow me to have a conversation about Jesus and invite him to come to our class, come to our church? Would y'all pray for Juan and Maria? It's a cute little couple just moved in across the street from us, Catty Corner. And we've exchanged greetings at the mailbox a few times, but they got a couple of the cutest little boys, and they need to be in Sunday school. Would you pray that God would engineer the circumstances that I can have a conversation with them and invite them to come to our church? Prayer is how you'll know if you've gotten to the commission level. It's also the best way to start moving toward it. We're out of time. That was probably a little scattershot, you know, but I hope it helps you to see the scope of what we could be doing in a class and maybe give you a few ideas about helping your class move forward and pleasing the Lord. Lord, thank you for these directors. Help them to direct well, to bring honor and glory to you and to shepherd your people the way that you would want them to be cared for. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1411 is the evaluation. And, huh? Yeah, you can still get it at lifeway.com/DavidFrancis and download a PDF, or you can go to, if you use an iOS device.